Hi, and welcome to Finishing.com series of podcasts on metal finishing. I am Tom Palizzi, secretary of Finishing.com. The title of this podcast is Tin Nickel Electroplating Part 1. It is a recording made by Lou Morin in 1990. It relates his experiences in tin nickel alloy plating. In this segment, Mr. Morin talks about some of the useful properties and applications of this alloy. There will eventually be 5 more podcasts in this subject area. Future podcasts on this subject will discuss more about the alloy and the electroplating tips and formulations. This podcast is brought to you and copyrighted by Finishing.com, the homepage of the finishing industry. Please visit us on the web for all of your finishing needs. We have everything you need to find the right finish, finisher, or supplier in surface finishing. If you would like to advertise your brand on this or future podcasts or on the web, please contact us at the website finishing.com or email me, Tom Palizzi, at fizz@finishing.com. That's F-I-Z-Z. Or email Ted Mooney, professional engineer, at mooney@finishing.com. M-O-O-N-E-Y. Now, please, here is Tin Nickel Part 1.
August 20th, 1990. My name is Lou Morin, that's M-O-R-I-N. And what I want to talk about is the lost art of tin nickel plating and what phenomenal performance it affords to copper-based alloys. It's low cost. It's position electromotive 4 series makes it sacrificial to copper-based alloys, and being such a passive coating, I call it poor man's platinum, it has phenomenal performance, corrosion resistance, chemical environments, and so on. Coating thickness ranges from a third of a micron to 5 micron. And let me describe it as a 65% tin, 35% nickel by volume, by weight, which makes it a 1-to-1 atomic ratio. And literature indicates that's an alloy, but it is not an alloy. It's an intermetallic compound. And as such, it is extremely hard. In this 600 Vickers pyramid range, you might say the high end of electrodeposited nickel, low end of chrome, comparable, for instance, with rhodium, and that as an intermetallic compound can be polished as glass or as electroless nickel. In other words, in machining, it doesn't make a chip, it makes a powder. So it polishes to optical figures that can't be done with other metals. Its appearance is that of Monel. When polished, it's very pretty. You might say it's a pink stainless steel. In the evening hours, when the long rays of the sun are predominantly red, it's very pink, but a pleasant color. I'll discuss some of the applications first and get into the technical details a little bit later on in the conversation. But I'm going to have to be vague. What happened is that I had, naturally, a complete file folder on tin nickel plating. And I made the very big mistake of lending it. Never lend a book. Worse yet, never lend accumulated data that way. And the firm I loaned it to claims that they lost it. So I must be vague on dates, and I am not vague on my technology. Each one of the applications I'm going to bring up is for a technical reason, not for a sales or cosmetic reason. But let me start with, of all things, the tops to batteries that made by Mallory, particularly the mercury battery, you know, like flashlight D cells. Well, being a KOH electrolyte, they have to go through rather elaborate schemes of sealing the top to prevent leakage, particularly under slight pressure of the electrolyte out the can. And so there's a interference fits of gaskets. The inner top is invariably welded, spot welded to the top, which is what the customer sees. And in this case, Mallory had read that tin nickel, a recent proposal of Tin Research Institute in Middlesex, England, might be a candidate for the inner top, and for a very odd reason. Now, this was in 1950 sometime, and all I had was a 4x5 card that gave me the parameters of the solution as they appear even today in the textbooks, which is incorrect. And that's the gist of the lost art part now. And set up a small production tank. This was barrel plating in an 18-inch barrel. In other words, loads of 30, 40, 50 pounds at a time of different size and shapes of these steel tops. My emphasis on steel there is that tin nickel as tin. After the part has been dried, okay, everything looks fine, but if moisture, condensation, rain, whatever, the EMF couple reverses with the steel so that you accelerate the corrosion of steel. I used to explain that in the old days of the steel Budweiser beer can, drive a country road, and at night, and you had beautiful reflectors on the bottom of the beer cans. It rained later, and they're all gone. So, because of its EMF position, it doesn't belong. However, this was a very odd story. They were looking for a hard, electrically conductive coating, which would amalgamate with mercury. Yes, and tin nickel does. And this job went on for quite some time. And because of the operating instructions as they were, there were times when I wouldn't be as good as I wanted to be. So in contacting Tin Research in England, Dr. Parkinson, the inventor, and here I'm vague, he either had already resigned or was soon to resign, but in any case, the fellows I worked for, it was not my own company at the time, we brought Dr. Parkinson to the U.S. to see what help he could give us. And it was the first commercial application he had ever seen of his own invention. So not to waste time and money, what he and I did together is spent a couple of hours a day for a couple of days, literally reinventing his solution so I would completely understand the whys and hows of each of his operating parameters and what his real scientific goals were. And therefore, I am more qualified than if I had read 1,000 books on that subject anyway. And so things began to take shape. Now we could do good work day in and day out. But we're a small job shop. Oh, it couldn't have been any more than 30, 40 men at the time. And very busy doing production. You have no chance for exploitation. A second job that came along, which also exhibits many features of tin nickel, was the Timex wristwatch company. Remember in the days of the mechanical watch now. It seems that they had seen someplace, somewhere, a coating on Swiss watch movements that it did not identify, but according to them, contained a substantial amount of tin, and Tin Research Institute in Columbus, in turn, referred them to us. And on seeing the samples, I saw immediately that it was tin nickel. In fact, you may be aware that there are two coatings for watches. My Bolivar Accutron, the first they ever made, was electroless nickel plated. In any case, Timex, which I thought was a very daring thing to do, we began to plate the barrel gear of a wristwatch. That's the one that contains the mainspring and has the highest tooth loading. And this worked in cooperation with a New York City metallurgical testing laboratory, so we get real numbers on what we were doing. Now, these parts are, for the most part, stamped parts, some machine, of course, and dimensional tolerances are very exacting. So what we had to work out was the amount of metal removed in our own pre-plate processing, the amount of metal added to by the tin nickel plating process, and could we do it all the time? Now, this brings up another feature of tin nickel, which is absolutely astounding. It says flat a plating as you can get. That is to say, throwing power, covering power. I'll explain that better in another example later on. In any case, wear test indicated several things. First of all, that the tin nickel seems to be able to polar bind lubricating oils. That once lubricated, it seemed forever lubricated, even under the very high loads of pivots of a wristwatch. Yes, very high loads. The loads may be a few grams, but the area is so small that it translates to high numbers in pounds per square inch. And that the film of oil almost seemed to be surface tension self-regulated at the wear point. Now, the tin nickel in this case replaced hardened steel pins as a pivot for the wristwatch, and well substantiated by data. And the profile of the plating on the gear teeth and their wear life made it feasible to go on to the second gear of the gear train. Then, weeks later, the third gear. And so we would go. And the loads, that is to say shipment size, kept getting bigger and bigger. At first it was 10,000 of each, then 20,000 of each, and so on. This is daily, by the way. And we worked out, and this over a period of, oh, what must have been a year and a half, 2 years, we were in production, not only of the production of the Timex in Connecticut, but also daily shipments from Timex in Dundee, Scotland. The irony there is that it's not very many miles away from the Tin Research Institute building where the whole process was invented in the first place. And the day came that even on that job, the axe fell. And that is to say that Timex said, well, look, Lou, we bought an automatic barrel plating machine to do this plating. We just simply can't afford to have so many dollars of inventory in transit from Scotland, from Connecticut, to our shop and back again. We need much closer control. We're going to do it ourselves. We know what the parts have to look like. Would you help our supervisor of the plating department? And it was an excellent department run by a top-notch guy, a real nice guy. Help us get the process going so we don't make a minimum amount of rejects. They were fair and above board on everything. And we, in turn, will promise that the next job that comes along that goes to outside vendors, you get first crack. So I agreed. What else could I really do? And, of course, I never saw them again. But that's the difference between a corporate purchasing department and the engineers in the plant. But it illustrated the phenomenal performance of what amounted to about a third of a micron, that's net coating, of tin nickel on such a sophisticated use.
That was Mr. Luke Morin talking about tin nickel plating. For more information about metal finishing, please visit our website. Contact us if you would like to advertise your brand on this or future podcasts. Thank you for joining us, and visit our website, finishing.com. We would love to hear what you thought of the podcast. Please drop a line. This is Tom Palizzi saying so long from finishing.com. Until next time.